All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool, got my unicorn outfit today because we're talking about some crazy stuff.
Is there a special name for that, Sean? Do you have a name for your outfit?
It's just a unicorn onesie. I don't know. What else do you need? Why do you need a name? Like, it's just, it's without name. It's kind of like some kind of great being. It's without name. So, all right. I finished posting that. Let me turn off the Facebooks. All right. So that was kind of surreal. That was actually kind of surreal. I was watching Facebook and it was like behind. So I don't know. Crazy.
That's cool.
My wife is already laughing at me. So that's good to know. She should be used to it by now. But we do have a guest. We should talk about the guest.
Thank you. We have a great guest today. We got Tim Davis joining us.
You have been excited. No, let's get be honest with Tim here. Like, you have been man crushing on his jacket for like at least six episodes. You've been talking about that jacket.
I love that jacket.
So we're definitely
love his pants and jacket.
You can kind of see a peek of it.
Pull it off like he can.
Yeah, you can kind of see a peek of it in the background in his caricature cutout caricature. Cardboard. So welcome, Tim.
What's up, guys? It's good to be here, man. This is pretty awesome.
Hey, give him some applause there.
Shut up, man. You guys, this is probably too legit for somebody like me. So I'm pretty honored to be here, man.
You should be. Yeah. We always look for the best guests, and then sometimes we bring guys like yourself on. So, you know,
sometimes you can't find anybody, you call me. I got it. I'm with it.
Quick. Who's our fifth choice?
Who's free?
Tim, I tell your story a lot, man. I just love your get up, and you just pull it off so well. So
yeah,
some people can do that. You know, I buy the stuff on loudmouth like you, but I don't buy the crazy stuff. You know, I get like the Argyle pants or the shorts and the some of the polo shirts,
but not all the way there.
Yeah, I mean, I might get away with a pair of socks too, but that jacket, man, I just no way I could pull it off like you could.
You know what the story of the jacket is? Do you know the story?
No.
Wait, before we get into the story, we'll talk about the story of the jacket. But before we do that, because that's the good stuff, right? So we gotta
tease. Just anxious to drink a beer, so
yeah, we gotta drink a beer first, or start drinking a beer first.
All right, guys.
So, did you bring anything, Tim? Because the guest usually goes first. So whatever you have, water or anything?
I can go get.
No, you don't have to go get anything. So you just watch us drink, I guess. Then
yeah, watch you drunkards.
Yeah,
I brought something in honor of you,
Tim. I'm a designated video guy. So.
Okay, designated podcaster. So when we go off the rails,
since Tim didn't go, and okay. I've got a drink to honor him since he didn't bring anything on. But I've got some today. I've got some Smashville from Wicked Weed.
Whoa!
Yeah,
nice. Man.
The official man. This is the official beer of the Nashville Predators. So.
If they ever play again.
I was going to say, what's a predator? What are sports?
Yeah, what are sports? Exactly. It kind of fits your theme there too, Tim.
It's a little loud, man.
It's loud, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, look at the predator. Did you know there was a Smashville beer?
I didn't, man. I am not a alcohol consumer.
Ah, okay.
So I had no idea that there was one.
So you can bring any beverage of choice.
I know I should have, man.
What is your favorite? What's your favorite beverage outside of?
I'm bad, dude. I'm Diet Coke, man. It's
Diet Coke
stuff, man. It's just awful for you. I'll tell you, I was running behind though, and I'm gonna kind of intercede. You know, Charlie Daniels passed away this week.
Yep. Yep.
And so I live in Mount Juliet, which is outside of Nashville, which is where Charlie Daniels, you know, is all about. And he's got the Charlie Daniels Park. And I promised Angie I would run over and get something from Lowe's real quick. And I thought, I got time before this video.
Yep.
And I got caught in the Charlie Daniels funeral procession.
Oh, man.
Wow. Dude, they are going all the way down to Georgia with the whole bang. I mean, don't stop, right?
Oh, wow.
So I'm a little bit like getting in here last second.
Yeah. By the way, just so you know, this video thing is kind of a podcast, is what they call them these days. So I know it's got a video element, but yeah.
There we go. Your video podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm late to the game, so I don't have any beverages. I'll probably go party.
Man, I tell you.
Again, this is the Smashville, Sean. Okay. It's a golden ale.
All right.
Wicked Weed Brewing Company. I'm saying, I guess these guys are over in Nashville. Yeah, no, it's Asheville, North Carolina.
Really? So,
yeah, that's weird that they would do a, must be Predator fans.
Yeah. Aren't they
who is it?
What's that?
Who is it?
I mean, that's...
Bandwagon fans everywhere.
Are those like sister cities? Like
Asheville and Nashville?
I think...
That's North Carolina.
Yeah, I know, like, anyway... So I want to say hello to a couple guests. I think my wife is watching, and then also Maria is watching from Costa Rica. How about that?
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, pretty cool. I don't know how to answer.
Oh, yeah, I see the comments. Yeah.
I think only you can answer comments, Jonathan.
I'm going to say that I was on an international podcast just because she's from Costa Rica.
So absolutely. 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 So, all right, Bobby, real quick. In honor of the unicorn and rainbows and things like that, I've got, all right, Jonathan, first of all, there's a little backstory here.
Okay.
Don't hate me, because this is an IPA. So, but I was at an illegal pool party and we swapped some beers. I had like a nice dark porter that I swapped, and he gave me an IPA that is from, it's called Haze Wizard. So it's got like a wizard on the can. I thought wizard and unicorns, those kind of go together.
Sure.
So,
I guess
Haze Wizard IPA, it's a double dry hopped IPA. And he said, this is like really like the most popular thing out in the part of California that he's from. So,
Okay. But,
he fled California to get away from the crazy, and it followed him here. Just so you know. It's getting crazy.
Double dry hop, man. I can, my tongue is twisting just you right. saying that, right?
Yeah. So it's super cloudy.
Yeah.
Looks just like IPA should, like spoiled beer. Do you know the story behind IPA beers, Tim?
I don't.
So it's India Pale Ale, and Britain used to ship beer to India because they were a British colony, right? So what happened is on the way there, because it was a long ride, it would spoil. But by the time it got to India, they didn't know any better. They thought that's how beer tastes. So they like sour beer, basically, is what happened. And now it's like cool with all the hipsters and stuff. They don't realize they're drinking like, you know, 3-month-old Budweiser is what they're drinking.
That's a good story right there.
So, all right. Well, Jonathan, we got to grade these. So all we'll right. do a cheers.
Cheers.
Tim, you can do an air cheers, I guess. Or cheers.
There we go. All right, Tim, if you were to grade either one of these, what would you give a higher rating? I can already tell.
I mean, Smashville wins hands down. No, I mean, the name alone clears it. It's the winner.
That's right. The cats.
There's literally nothing you can do, Sean.
He's done.
Yeah, it's IPA. So yeah, it's not great. So, you know, I'm actually going to give this like a 3 out of 5 pints. Mm-hmm. I'm not an IPA fan though, so it's really not fair, but it's got kind of a grapefruity taste to it. So that's all I can say about it. I don't know how to grade an IPA because I'm not a fan in general. So it's hard to give a good rating. So what are you doing on the golden ale from Smashville?
I'm giving it a 3.5. It's pretty good. Pretty refreshing. Yes. It's really not hoppy at all. So it's good. Plus I like the can. It's pretty creative. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.5, which is actually pretty good for just a regular ale.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to talk to Tim Davis. Tim is, do you have a bio or anything, or we just make something up?
I got some bio.
We've got the backstory. We've got like all kinds of stuff on Tim.
So you probably got some stuff to add on, but Tim's a certified speaker, coach, trainer. He's for John Maxwell, but he's also a speaker for, what is the, can you give us the mortgage company? It's
Yeah. So my official title, right? Official.
Fisher.
National Director of Coaching for Movement Watch.
So, yeah, so you're the national director, and then, but you also had, give us some of the, I know you are a John Maxwell certified, is that a trainer, instructor, teacher? What is that?
I think it's certified coach, speaker, right. Trainer. I think it's how they develop that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got that too. It's not that, I think we were at the same event, weren't we? The very first one.
We might've been at the very first one.
I think we were.
Yeah,
we were both there. So I've got my little coin, founder's coin.
Yeah. So. I framed mine.
Oh, wow. I think I threw mine in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah, you know, you got all these titles and stuff like that and everything, but I guess at the end of the day, only thing about one thing is that, do you get results?
Exactly. Yep.
Right? Yeah, I should just call myself the results guy.
Results. The thing I like about Tim is he's got a real impressive, like, talent stack because – first of all, I want you to share your story because you got a really good story, Tim. Most people haven't. Well, we talk about you, but no one knows your upbringing, your personal story. So that's the thing that I love the most. But you got a really good talent stack because you went to college. You majored in what, graphic design, right?
Yeah, graphic design.
So, and you're really good at that because you do a lot, you're really good at design. And I think that's a really good part of your talent stack that allows you to get, you know, in terms of personal branding, you can really put some things together. I see a lot of the graphics and things that you've put together in the past and some of the books that you've published and things like that come out. And you got a real creative eye for design, but you've got all these really cool talent stacks, you know, your eye for design, the personal branding, you've got persuasion, you've got speaking, you're really charismatic, you're a great speaker. So you got a lot of things going for you.
I owe you money.
But here, you know, Davis is short for Da Vinci. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah. All right, let me write that down. I might Da Vinci.
I'll send you my fee, my copywriting fee on that one.
I need it, yeah. Need your Venmo.
Yeah.
So before we delve into, you know, exactly how you, you know, separate yourself from so many others, because that's one of the things I want to talk about today is like how you, you know, because you've taken a lot of your talent stack and like so many people out there, they'll have a good talent stack, but they don't really have a strategy, you know, and yours was a strategy. You know, you've kind of separated yourself in the mortgage industry in that niche as the guy, as the trainer, the speaker, the personal branding expert. And that's what I take, you know, some people have a strategy, but it's like, or they don't have a strategy. They have all these talents or they have all these things, but they don't really have a strategy in mind. So they're like, I want to change the world. That's not really a strategy. If you come and say, I want to change this industry, or I want to make a difference in this industry or this line of work or how things are done here. Now that's a strategy. So, and you've done that in your own. So it's like, you know, you're fishing in really a small pond there. But before we get into that, I want you to kind of share your story because you got a really good one growing up. You kind of grew up in the projects, right?
In the housing projects, man. I did. I mean, you don't get to choose where you're born on this planet, right? So that's part of it. You're just dealt those cards in the beginning. So the story, fairly condensed, would be this. My dad and my mom got together in their late 40s, so I kind of came along. Probably wasn't the planned situation, right? Kind of more of a surprise. And I didn't come out. The doctor didn't say, well, congratulations, Mr. and Ms. Davis. Here's a marketer. You just gave birth to a marketer. That's not how it worked. But my dad, he got leukemia. And back then, it was in 1973. So, you know, medicine's definitely advanced a little bit since then. There wasn't really much going on at that point. So he passed away really quickly. My mom, she had a tough upbringing. I mean, you want to talk about poor and broke. I mean, there was no nuclear family, so to speak, that guided her direction. So she had been into a lot of really difficult situations, right? But she had a sixth grade education, if that tells you anything. So when my dad passed away, she's like, you know, didn't involve me in the decision-making process. Just felt like it'd be better to move from Dallas, Texas, where I was born, to Mayfield, Kentucky. Couldn't be a more diversely different place. But that's where her side of the family was. And so we lived my grandparents for a few months so we could get set up on welfare and food stamps and all the social type of things that somebody in the projects probably would be involved with. And we lived in the housing projects. And so my mom, she dealt with a lot of demons, you know, is the best way to describe it. She dealt with, you know, mental demons. So she was on lots of medication, lots of nerve medication. She didn't drink or anything like that, but she was addicted to prescription drugs, right? And her dealer of choice wore a white lab coat with a name on it that said doctor.
Yeah.
And they were willing to give her just about anything, you know, growing up. Mm-hmm. I had two older sisters that don't get a lot of attention in my story because they were, you know, late 18, 19, 20 year olds. Here I was, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 year old, right? But they really struggled. I mean, my mom basically abandoned them after they were born because my mom was still chasing men. And she saw my sisters as competition to the dating scene. So she basically just kicked them out of the house. And so their life was really tough. And they got in the ditch, so to speak. And they got into really alcohol and some other stuff. And, you know, it was just tragic situation. So I grew up in the housing projects there with my mom. And listen, you know, I don't want to paint a horrible picture because she did the best she could, right? I mean, with a sixth grade education and what she knew and the nucleus, the disruptive nucleus family situation that she had, right? She made the best decision she could. But I will tell you this, people that live in the projects, generally speaking, my experience with that was they have a poverty set mentality. So they play the victim card a lot and they rely on social services to prop them up and help them up. And so that side of the family all kind of believed and bought into that narrative.
Yeah.
And so that was my story growing up. Right. So I didn't really, you know, it was embarrassing to me. I mean, I'll see some people today and like they'll stand out with their hand out for money and stuff like that. To me, that's just like so embarrassing. Like I would never, ever do that.
Yeah.
So growing up, I just felt like this weight of embarrassment, you know, going to school, you know, the living room was my bedroom. It was all, you know, one place. You know, they didn't have a separate room. So, you know, my friends who had houses, they had a mom and a dad. They did stuff like they would go to parks or to ball games, or they would actually go out to dinner. Like that was just foreign concept to me. You know, we ran out of food somewhere around the 10th to the 14th of the month. We were just trying to make it through the rest of the month on some mayonnaise and some bread. So to me, that was like, I don't want you guys to know about this. Like I got to keep this hidden. I got to keep this secret. I got to find a way to put up a false front, so to speak. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people I went to high school since. They're like, I had no idea. And I'm like, I don't know how you didn't have any idea. But I guess I'm really good at hiding it. So that was my upbringing. And for whatever reason, well, I know the reason now. And I'll tell you, I'll share the story with you guys. Mm-hmm. I'll have to fast forward real quickly. I ended up getting out of the projects, right? And people are like, how did you do it? I'm like, well, hell, it wasn't a gated community. It's not like you were locked in. You walk out. You know, you get up, you leave.
Right.
So, yeah, I had a guidance teacher say, hey, you can go to college. And I'm like, I don't even like school. Like, you know, but I hate being here. I worked at a grocery store, you know, to provide food for the family. So I wanted out of all of that. I just didn't know how to get out of all that. And it just seemed like, well, if I go to college, maybe that's the escape route. But I got no plan. Mm-hmm. Right. So I got a Pell Grant to pay for a little bit of the tuition, but the rest of it was on me. So I had to get a job right away when I went to college. So I'm not an academic. Like, you know, hopefully we're not looking for academics on today's show because I'm not going to tell you any about that stuff. It's the last thing on my radar. But the long story short, you know, when you look at like people ask all the time, like, how do you grow up in those kind of surroundings, but being mentally diversely different than everybody else?
Yeah.
How does that happen? And I didn't really have an explanation for that for forever. I couldn't explain that to anybody. Many years later, we had a mortgage company and I got a letter one day in the mail. I was being sued by some people in Texas. And I got this certified letter from the Denton County Sheriff's Department. Sean, you might know where Denton County is down there in Texas.
Yeah.
And so I freaked out. Like, I don't even know what's going on. I start going through this list of names. I don't recognize any of them, but one lady on there, it's my Aunt Lena. And I couldn't track her down, but I tracked this lady down named, can't think of her name now. Sorry, guys. It was my other aunt, who I had no idea about these people. I knew none of these people. They were all foreign to me. I call up on the phone one day, and I'm like, I'm looking for so-and-so. And they're like, the lady's like, this is her. And I'm like, well, my name's Tim Davis. And it was dead silence on the phone. Like, she's like, are you kidding me? Like, we haven't seen you since you were three. And your mom took you away. Long story short, we traveled to Dallas, and my wife, we were sitting in the living room of one of my aunt's houses, and she said, man, you guys are like being around Zig Ziglar. It's like the most motivating group of people I've ever seen in my life. How do you think he grew up in that situation, but he's more like you guys? And my aunt said, well, we just prayed for him every day. And we were very specific in the prayer that his mind would be protected by all the outside negative influences that he would be experiencing. And that's the only explanation I got, man. Somebody prayed for me and it worked.
Wow, so. Wow. That's cool. Yeah. That's a cool story. Yeah. I've been diving deep lately into quantum mechanics and quantum physics and like how prayer and all that stuff lines up with that is pretty cool stuff. Like the science of that matches the fascination and the miracle of prayer. It's pretty cool stuff. I totally see all that. It's pretty amazing. I got tons of questions, but we'll get into the persuasion stuff. So how did you start? I mean, you were running a mortgage company, right? So that was probably when? Was that like during the 2000s, early 2000s?
No, this was in the late 90s.
Okay.
I started there, and then it kind of progressed into the 2000s.
Yeah, so kind of a dot-com boom and then bust and then the second wave kind of up.
I started out in a Rolodex, if anybody knows what the hell that is.
A what?
A what? That's cool. So you're in that business. That's a pretty, I mean, like anything else, like there's a pretty set way of doing things, pretty established. It's been around for, decades. How did you move from just kind of doing what everybody else was doing to kind of making your own mark in the world? Like, where did you start picking up and learning all the persuasion and presenting yourself differently than what these other guys were? And when did that start? Like, how long were you in the business before that started?
I was probably in the business 5 to 7 years before the frustration level had reached a peak where I was like, if this is how it is and this is how it's going to be for the rest of my life, I don't like it. And so really what happened was I got introduced to direct response marketing, and I don't remember what triggered that, Sean. I remember somehow Dan Kennedy landed across my desk.
Yeah.
Yep. I was working with a coach at the time who had a lot of experience in personality assessments, and we worked through that type of thing and some leadership stuff. I just knew that I was sick and tired of competing on a day in and day out basis. It just wasn't any fun, right? And I just kept talking to her about that. And she's like, well, you got to be different. You got to find a way to stand out and be different. I'm like, you can't. It's a commodity. And I had a litany of excuses. Somewhere along the way, I ran across Dan Kennedy. And my first sort of experience into trying something new and different was ad copy, which I'm nowhere near the level of you guys on that stuff. You guys are total experts in that area. I'm a novice. But what I did, I had read one of his books, and I had been calling real estate agents, and you get some accept you in, some kick you out, some don't call you back. It's just, it's painful. And the whole cold calling thing is not me. It's not my personality. I'm not going to bang out 100 phone calls on a Monday and get 99 no's. I'm going to get 2 no's, then I'm going to feel like, well, let's go play golf.
Yeah. 10X, baby.
Yeah, right? Look, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but like some of these dudes that are out there, they think that the whole world has to act like them to be successful. And that's just total garbage. Everybody's born differently. That'd be like saying everybody's got blue eyes. And if you don't have blue eyes, there's something wrong with you. That's just not, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have to be like us, but you just won't succeed if you're not. That's all.
That's right. You'll just be a loser in life. I know several of those guys, whatever,
Yeah.
I think
this crew right here is a pretty laid back crew. The three of us, we all kind of take it a little bit calmer, approach, despite the unicorn outfit and the paintball jacket. But
David Coggins is pretty cool, and it's nice to watch his videos. But I'd be damned if I'm running 300 miles every day, and you know I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I started reading Kennedy, and I gave a shot at this whole direct response thing. Right, I was like, all right, who am I going after, and what do they really want? And it's not me. I mean, they don't really want me. They can find money from a bazillion lenders out there.
Yeah.
Why me? So what value do I bring to the table? That was a simple question. And I was a member of a coaching platform that provided us these audio interviews on a monthly basis. And so what you could do with these audio interviews, you could download them. Now, this is still in the dial-up phase, right? I mean, this is AOL and crap. And
yeah.
So it's hard. And so you can download them and then give them out. Like, computers had just come out to be able to burn a CD-ROM. Okay? Yep. So it's amazing I know all this at 28. So I got a computer that would burn a CD-ROM, but then that was only like one. I was like, I got to scale this bad boy. I can't scale with one at a time.
Sure.
So what I did was I crafted this flyer. And the headline basically said, are you a real estate agent who loves personal development, sales, and growth audio programs, and you find yourself listening to them all the time in your car to try to get better at your craft? If that's you, read more. Right? So really a direct headline to identify the person, because if they read that, they're like, hell, I listen to Jay-Z. I ain't listening to Jay-Z. then they're not going to fill out the form, right?
Was Jay-Z born then? I don't know.
Probably Run DMC or something. Grandmaster Flash. Okay. Houdini. Okay. So, you can read on. And then there was three audio CDs that I pulled out. One was from Tony Robbins that he had interviewed. Another one was Les Brown. And then I think it was Tom Hopkins, which is a real estate trainer. Those were the three that I selected. And I went on to say, you can get all three of these in a complete package. It's a $299 value. It's 100% free. Just complete the form at the bottom and fax it to this number. It said nothing about the mortgage company, none of that stuff. It was just an offer like that. Well, I had to come up with the scaling problem that I had. So I found a 5-disc duplicator.
Ooh, wow. Big time, baby.
I'm rolling in the tech, baby.
So you had a fax machine and a duplicator? Man.
I'm telling you, dude.
Yeah, did you have one of those fancy push-button phones, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. There's no end to my – I was literally the Tesla of my day, right?
No doubt.
So I went down to Staples, right? And, you know, printing in color was expensive. And I bought this laser jet printer and I bought the Neato labels, and they made them for CDs. This is a funny story, but it's true, man. So, I mean, I had my assistant like constantly duplicating these CDs, right? And then he would carefully press the label on there, right? You can't get a wrinkle in it. That's hard as hell to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Carefully press the label on there, right? And then we bought these jewel cases, right? Actually, we started off with envelopes, but that was too cheesy. We graduated all the way up to DVD cases.
Nice.
Where I actually printed off and cut with scissors and crap the cover. Okay. Telling you, I found one of these. So, anyway, we had these like physical products, and I hired a girl named Robin, and she would go out and deliver. She had to deliver 100 flyers to real estate offices per week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she couldn't talk about the mortgage company. She had to go in and say, hey, you know, my name's Robin from Success Real Estate Strategies, which is, that's what I called it.
Okay. That's cool.
Like, and so,
sounds good.
Yeah, you got to get the mortgage out of the equation, because if you're the mortgage person, they're just going to, get out of here, right?
Right.
So Success Mortgage Real Estate Strategies was our firm. And so she said, I got a free offer for all these Success Strategies, 100% free if I just litter the mailboxes of these flyers. And we were getting anywhere from 8 to 12 flyers faxed in a week.
Cool.
And so she would then, she was very scripted. She would, you know, hey, Jonathan, this is, you know, Robin from Tim Davis's office. Mm-hmm. You send in your information for the Success Real Estate Strategy Series. It's those three CDs. We personally deliver them. We don't mail them or ship them. We deliver on Tuesdays between 10 and noon and Thursdays 1 to 3. Which one of those days would you be in your office to accept it in person and sign for it?
I like it.
And so then I would just run those appointments. So instantly I had at least had in common with them that we like to listen and grow to audio information. That was the basis. At least I had something in common that I could launch the relationship further off of.
So right. I want to back up. You didn't ask them, did they want it? You asked them, this is important because that's a really good persuasion technique. You said, which day would you prefer to have it, right?
Yeah. Would you, well, they had sent in the form, so they've already requested it.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
right. So it starts with the flyer, mm-hmm. right? And the flyer identifies their personality style to okay. be most like mine.
Yep. So basically in today's language, and you could still do that today, by the way, because they still, you know, there's still places that have boxes, mailboxes like that, things mm-hmm. like that. But today that would be an opt-in form, right?
Sure.
On a website.
Yeah, opt-in form, but I'm going to tell you guys, like, I've got one right here and you probably have seen it on the World Wide Webs. We still do physical products, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We still, this magazine that we produce has over 17,000 subscribers now.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
But yes, in the digital world, it would be lead pages or click funnels or right. Kajabi or whatever. Right.
But it's cool that you're kind of in a niche that still has those, like literally has a physical mailbox in every real estate office where
yes.
you can put stuff. I mean, that's nice. That's probably the least crowded, even though there's a lot of stuff in those, that's probably the least crowded mailbox they own compared to their texts and their messages and their emails and everything else.
Right.
Yeah. We have to find new ways today, you know, cause they don't go to the office as much. That's just my story from back then. Listen, guys, I was writing an insane amount of business and making an insane amount of money. And my marketing budget was literally 500 reams of paper that we would purchase at Staples, a few CDs, right, that we would give out. And that was my marketing budget. And we just kept running that over and over and over. And then we had a sequence like, I'll speak at your office and I'll
right.
add more value and things like that. So we had that other sequence. But the funny part of the story is that like I had to come up with a new solution because one day I got a call from a realtor that had put the CD in their car and the heat during the day caused the sticker to come off. And when it ejected, it kind of messed up their whole CD player. But,
oops.
I didn't get any referrals from that realtor, but.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. So like you identified, okay, so we go back because we reference Cialdini a lot in persuasion and influence. So of the six, you know, you talk about reciprocation. So you started, you didn't ask for anything. You're just trying out, you start out helping these people, you know, hey, here's a free CD. I want to help you. You know, if you're interested in personal development, here you go. You know, I'm going to produce these, get these out. So you start out giving them something. Mm-hmm. And people reciprocate. Not everyone does, but a lot of these people end up reciprocating and giving you, sending you business.
Well, you start, I think the key is looking back on it today is, I'm not sure I can give myself a being credit for this, being this smart, but it sounds a lot smarter. the headline attracted the personality that I was most going to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in audio learning, like I am,
sure.
we've got that in common. So the springboard relationship goes a little bit quicker than when I was just handing them out like Halloween candy, you know, right. and people, oh, that's great. Thanks. That was frustrating because I found people that didn't care. And I thought everybody did that. I thought everybody liked to learn, but it's not true. So I had to isolate that group down.
Well, and there's a couple of things because you use reciprocation, but you also use you identified with them, like you identified some common traits with them. Like here's how we relate to each other. We have this same interest in personal development. So, you know, you found kind of a common, you know, a common theme among your, you know, your target audience that you wanted to,
yeah,
that you
can relate to. Yeah, and we redefined ourselves as publishers too, because right. at the time I was like, well, how come Tony Robbins is influential? And how come Zig Ziglar is influential? That's sure. the question I was asking.
Yeah.
The only thing I could come up with was they did a lot of writing, they did a lot of speaking, and they had a lot of physical products.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, why can't I have physical products too? Why can't I do more speaking and have physical products? And I just had to break down some barriers that are not there for us anymore. I mean, look what you guys are doing. There's no barriers. You don't have to go get Sony Records to allow you to publish this. You just go do it.
Right,
back
right.
then, there was a lot more barriers and it was a little harder to do. And so that's why I ended up with Leno labels and stuff of that nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's always something, but I love the, just to reiterate, because anybody can apply this that's listening, you know, most people, if they were writing, let's say they're writing a Facebook ad today to accomplish the same goal, right? To get real estate agents to use you as a mortgage broker. Probably what they would write on Facebook would be like, attention, real estate agents, looking for the best mortgage broker, get you the lowest rates right. with the best service.
Right.
But you didn't do any of that, right? You did, you said, like, you just totally left it out. And I think that's scary for a lot of people. They're like, well, I got to talk about myself, right? I got to talk about my service. And even like a lot of the current like cliche copywriting formulas right now, like that you would put on your LinkedIn profile is like, I help X get X right. or I help X get Y without Z. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just bypassed all that and just went straight to serving them, which is kind of what Jonathan was saying. And I think that's an overlooked, lost, not even technique, but just a way of doing business.
What I was trying to achieve in my mind, as simple as my mind is, was influence. I was trying to get you to see me different than everybody else and listen to what I had to say and take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was ultimately what I was trying to do. So the packaging that I was putting together, both physical and just appearance and things of that nature, was to get you to see me different than everybody else with rate sheets and donuts and whatever, you know?
Yeah, and the, I mean, you think about just from, we had a guy on last week that you would love, Tim, Felix, and he was all about neural marketing, like literally the science of neuromarketing. And so one of the things you did there, whether you knew it or not, is that like, you know, using the value of $300 compared to your competition is showing up with a box of donuts, which I love donuts. So it'd be a tough call for me, but because unicorns live on donuts and jelly beans,
but and Coke,
like, and Coke. Yes. So like, see, I drink full strength Coke. I don't do the diet stuff. I go all the way.
Well, you need to do this in your life, okay?
Yeah. So like from a neuromarketing, like they're like, wow, this guy's successful enough.
Yeah.
Where they process this or not, like, wow, this guy's successful enough to give away $300 set of CDs.
Yeah.
And it's not asking for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
there was some intentionality on my part about it. I mean, yeah. You know, I think I probably read that somewhere in Dan Kennedy's stuff. You know, again, probably. I was just trying to model him, you know, in my naive way.
Sure.
And then really just test to see if this is actually valid. Does this really work? You know, I mean, it's all a test. Everything's a test. I know everybody wants a guarantee, but everything's a test. And, sometimes you lose money and sometimes you learn and sometimes you win. It's all a test. But if you're unwilling to step out and take tests, then you have to be okay with being behind and taking the scraps of people that do go out there and take the chance.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm mentoring some copywriters now, and like I tell them all the time, like anybody that tells you they know what's going to work when they're editing your copy is just right. deceiving F-O-F. Themselves.
F-O-F, just, man.
You just don't know. But there's some basic principles and some basic ideas, and as long as you're within that realm. And sometimes, even when you're not, like even when you break the rules every once in a while, it happens. But you know, the idea is if you can stay within the principles, you'll get base hits. And then as you get a little bit more creative and a little more, you know, willing to take a risk, you find those doubles, triples, and home runs.
Yeah.
Especially when it's uncomfortable. Like if it's a super uncomfortable headline or something like that, just it doesn't seem quite right. That's usually the one that'll work. As crazy as it sounds. Yeah. So Sam, I want to fast forward a little bit. Are you still doing the personal branding mastery stuff? in addition to.
I mean, COVID has put the kibosh on the travel.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I mean, we've been running that program for 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize that. I did some rough math. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 500,000 agents have come through our classes.
Wow.
You know, over the time, and we've covered just about every state in the United States, practically. There's a few that we haven't gone to. It's grown so big now that I've got 5 additional speakers that teach it. Wow. I just can't go out there and do the demand for it any longer. Yeah. So we've been able and very blessed and successful at replicating that. And what's interesting about it is like we put metrics on stuff. It's not just haphazard, right? It's not just like, oh, you know, the jokes are timed, you know, all of that. I mean, it's really like we are methodically worked through this stuff, but I've even got some of my speakers on my team that when we go out and do one of these classes that we run right in the neighborhood of 98% of the, we survey everybody at the end intentionally.
Yeah.
And I think this is where people miss out. Like they go in and add value, but they don't close.
Yep.
They think adding the value is going to create the close. It doesn't. I mean, I know Cialdini and I understand the law of reciprocity, but man, I found that the law of reciprocity needs a swift kick in the tail most of the time.
Yeah. If you're not willing to ask for the, you got to be willing to ask for it, right?
That's right. So when we do the personal branding mastery seminars, it's a big entertainment. Like it is 90% entertainment, 10% content.
Yeah.
Literally. Because people would rather be entertained than educated.
Every day. Yeah.
Sounds like our show about 10% content.
Yeah. Right. Well, look at Sean. I mean, there's perfect example.
Yeah. So
who shows up wearing a unicorn outfit, you know?
Yeah. So, but get these numbers, guys. This is what's fascinating. So when we survey our audience of real estate agents, 98% of them, regardless of the speaker, whether it's me or somebody I've trained, 98% of them agree on the survey form to have a one-on-one coffee meeting with a loan officer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If 100 agents come to your event, 98 of them are going to agree to coffee with you. That's the beginning of a relationship. Okay. Sure. Now, the other part of it is this. 58% of them agree to send you a referral today. Today. Wow. So
during the, like the entertainment presentation.
At the end.
Yeah.
We survey them at the end. So let's just say that using round numbers, 100 people come, 58 say they have a referral. The average loan is $225,000. That's $13 million in referrals that's on the table that day from that event.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
52% of them, these are our averages over all these years, 52% of them would like to have, we've got a program we call Agent Marketing Academy, which we pre-write all this content that anybody can teach, and we certify them to be speakers and stuff. So 52% of the agents want an ongoing class on very specific topics into the infinite future, right? So that's building up that next call, that next meeting, that kind of stuff. 52% of them want that. So it's not just about $13 million generated at this one event. Like one event I did, we generated almost $28 million in business for a 3-hour event. So they've got this future coffee. They got this future show up every month and do this. And now we just started adding, probably about 6-7 months before COVID hit, was our newest platform, our playbooks. We ask them how many people want to subscribe to this. 100% of the room wants a subscription. Mm-hmm. 100% of the room. And this is ongoing. It's free to them every month. So it shows up either in person delivery or in their mailbox, followed up by a phone call or a Zoom meeting to discuss it.
Right.
So that's what we did with our branding events. Plus they learn a lot and they go out there and apply everything we're talking about too. So
what's a big part of the message that you're giving a lot of these agents? You know, how do they kind of, you know, kind of like what we're talking about, how do they separate themselves? You're a real estate agent. So obviously you're a lot of these workshops, you're teaching them how to kind of do like what you've done. So what are you sharing with them that helps them kind of separate themselves from everyone else out there in their industry?
The thing, all I can share is what worked for me.
Yep.
You know, and I get that there's a lot of paths to success. So I just share the one that works for me. And what I share is that you have to become the local mayor or media celebrity of your town. Mm-hmm. Because that was the path I followed, right? People listen to celebrities. You still see celebrity endorsements for products today, you know? So how do you elevate the level of influence you have so that you're seen as the mayor of town or the local media celebrity in the area of real estate, you know? And then from there, it's you have to publish, right? You have to create a character of yourself in some way, not like cartoon or whatever, but you have to have something you stand for, right? Mm-hmm. Like Dave Ramsey stands for no debt, right? Yeah. Susie Orman stands for her thing. So you have to create what you're going to stand for. And then you have to be like a pit bull about publishing stuff and getting rid of any of these preconceived notions of like, my hair's not right, I don't look good. What you have to go out there and publish content, yeah, both online and offline. You know, I love online and it's great, but the average shelf life of a real estate post is like less than a minute on Facebook. People are scrolling right past it, you know? So I teach them how to write a book about buying and selling homes in their city. And I teach them how to multiply that book into different niches, like how to buy a home if you're a real estate investor, how to buy a home if you're a single mom, how to buy a home if you're getting divorced, whatever the case might be. Use that to get on the local media, combine it with, you know, a blog, combine it with a podcast now, you know, combine it with video, and using all your, using your telephone. Like, yeah, you guys are fancy. You guys have microphones and nice setups and all that kind of stuff. And that intimidates a lot of people, but
it does.
Yeah.
I do three podcasts every day, and I do every one of them for free on my telephone.
Yep.
Every bit of it. And so I just teach them quicker ways to produce stuff that's less intimidating, that elevates their influence, and then how to put customers in a cycle that they build a relationship and then ask for the business. Yeah. So that's kind of what it is in a nutshell.
So did you hear that doorbell, Jonathan? Like Tim's living in a nice house. That was a nice house doorbell.
That's a really nice doorbell.
That's the grandfather clock.
Oh, is that what it was? Sound like a really nice doorbell in a nice house.
Now, our doorbell actually is programmed like during Christmas, like it'll play like jingle bells.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, man. Speaking of Christmas, all right. So every listener should get on Tim Davis's Christmas card list. That's all I got to say.
They're good.
Like, it's just, that's next level. Like, where did that come from? Is that just part of the whole, like, the image of just being out there and in front of people and all that kind of stuff? Or is that more just personal fun? Or they kind of just go hand in hand?
Yeah, I mean, it's both. I always tell people same is lame. Mm-hmm. I don't care if not everybody's going to like you.
Nope. Right.
You have to get comfortable with the fact that there are going to be people that disagree with your opinion and just do not like who you are for whatever reason. Okay. You have to get comfortable with that. And then realize, I don't care if you don't like me, but you don't have a chance to forget me.
Exactly.
Right. So you can be like, man, I really don't like Tim, but that jacket, man, that's smoking. You know,
that's right.
I know
that's
he's the guy in the jacket, you know, or like with Christmas cards, the way that came about was like, I literally was sitting there one year, watched my wife take down all the cards we got, and they all came from Walgreens. I know where you guys will get your Christmas cards made at. I mean, it's you, the family, the cat and the dog, and you go out of Walgreens and you get them printed in those little bitty long strips. Some of them are red or some of them are, and they just fly into people's houses. Like, so I watched my wife take all of them and put them in a trash bag and toss them out. And I thought, man, the day they sat down and took that picture, they were really excited about that. It probably took 6 hours out of their day to get the kid to smile.
Yeah.
Here we are just throwing them out on the curb. Get the hell out of my house. I'm done with you. And so I said, you know, same as lame, man. We got to do something different. We got to do something that people, like, we want to rent space in their house for as little bit of money as we can.
Right.
Okay. So a Christmas card is maybe $2 or $3, right?
Yep.
So, but how can I get you to introduce me to all your friends? That was the question that started, because I know you're going to have people over for Christmas parties and things of that nature.
Sure.
And if I send you my card, it's going to be stuck up there with the other Walgreens cards, and you're not going to go, hey, Jonathan, come here and look at this Walgreens card. Can you believe the font that they had up there? Is that Helvetica or terrible? I can't determine. I'm not going to do that, right? But when our card shows up, right, and it's, you know, I'm trying to think of
My favorite was the Christmas Vacation where you're looking like Cousin Eddie.
Yeah. And it's outdoor. We were building the house and we were in the porta potty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one sticks out.
Over, you're going to take them to the manor and go, look at these.
Look at this
you
idiot.
I believe what they
because, I mean, you had the Cousin Eddie, you had the robe, you had the hat, you had the everything. I mean, like he was, like yeah. he was emptying the camper, you know?
Well, you know, I think more than ever that people are so cautious. They're getting more and more cautious. I mean, you can see it playing out with the COVID epidemic. Like everybody wants to be safe. They want to be cared for. They want to be, so anytime you're willing to like step out and be seen and take risk and things like that, I think there's a big part of people that are like, wow, like I admire that guy and I respect that guy or girl because they're willing to be silly or be stupid yeah. or look, you know, whatever, like they're just willing to do it. And there's, that says something, and it's a form of leadership that I think is overlooked. So, I mean, yeah. to me, that's what happens.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's entertaining. Absolutely. But there's another side of it that it's definitely, it garners respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've had people go, man, I just wish I was brave enough to do it.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you don't have to be brave enough. You have to be broke enough.
Right, right.
If you're broke enough, you'll start doing some stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, like, you'll start doing some stuff when you're broke.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's crazy because, you know, I had a company, because I do a couple of industry podcasts in my field. And, you know, the podcast that I do on a regular basis, I do a lot of companies that are in my industry and feature them. It's great exposure because we get a lot of listeners, but every now and then, like this week, I reached out to a company, invited them on, and you would be surprised. The response that I got is thanks for the offer, but we don't do these things. We like to stay under the radar. And I'm thinking that was exactly the line that they emailed me. We like to stay under the radar. And I just said, okay, that's wow. You have a business and you want to stay under the radar. That's a great model. I hope that works for you.
That doesn't compute in my mind.
It just baffled me. Like, okay, yeah. That's good luck with that.
Have fun.
Yeah, that's how monopolies get taken over by startups. I mean, easy. That kind of attitude.
You know? Yeah, and this was the CEO of the company that said that. So, I mean, it's like, it's not like, you know, some middle manager or some, you know, some guy that's worried about his job. This guy's the head of the company and he's saying that, like, you're not going to last. Yeah,
we're good. We don't need money.
Yeah.
Real quick, how long do we have on this podcast that y'all do it for? Oh, right.
Let's see. Oh, we got another 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Cause I'm going to take you guys somewhere. I'm going to take you on a journey.
Okay. All awesome. Right. Can we get, caricature? Okay. We got real Tim, not caricature Tim. You know,
And the only reason I'm going to take you on this journey is for Jonathan. I'm not sure this will really apply to you, Sean. It might. You might think, oh, wow, whatever. You know? But for Jonathan, he's going to be like, I'll be down to your house next week.
Oh, he's got a putting green in his backyard.
He's got some golf going on somewhere.
Yeah, he's got a putting green going on, I bet.
I gave up golf. You know, the last time we had somebody like moving around the house with their laptop, it was Rich Sheffrin. So you're in good company, Tim. I don't know if you know Rich.
Yeah.
Oh, you would love Rich. You would love Rich Sheffrin.
I knew it. I told you, putting green. Look at that.
Man.
All right. Text me your address. I'll see you next week.
Now, check this out, right? Like, you know, we're talking about being different and unique or whatever.
Yep.
All right. So Sean, Jonathan, why don't you see this? I got a lot of lights here. See what this is on the putting green?
Oh, yeah.
Ball washer.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to miss the putt and say, well, my ball was dirty.
No excuses. Okay.
There are excuses. Okay. And then.
I use a ball every hole anyway.
So look at that. He's got a.
The location.
Oh, look at that. Wow.
So just had to show you that.
Dude, that is. All right. Move yourself aside. I got to see that putting green one more time. That's nice.
Get out of the way. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Is that Landry?
That's Landry. You know, she's like super popular too. She's got like,
Landry's got their own. I mean, Landry and Puck have their own brand right now.
Yeah. They got their own coloring book. We just sold a ton of, math.
Wow.
You hit mute. You just hit mute.
Sorry about that. We just sold a ton of masks for, you know, COVID masks.
Right.
Yeah.
For the dogs.
Wow. So if you're awesome. If you're listening and not watching to the podcast, Landry is a German Shepherd. And there it is.
So is Puck. And then you've Puck, got both. Sheldon, right? Sheldon is the what is Sheldon?
He's Cocker Spaniel.
Cocker Spaniel. Okay.
Old news.
Yeah.
he actually bosses the shepherds around. Yeah.
But what's cool is you got both of these. They have a tie into the Nashville Predators, which is really cool. Can you share that story real quick?
Yeah, can I share that story? So I think part of building your brand is being authentic.
Yep.
Really good, right? Don't try to be somebody you're not. So we got into hockey. My wife and I love it. Season ticket holders, the whole nine yards. And so one night we found this app called My Talking Pet. Mm-hmm. And started playing around with it. You can actually make your pet talk, right? Mm-hmm. And so I recorded a video with Landry about the Predators, and we just threw it up on social media. Mm-hmm. And it just went, and I was like, there's something here. I don't know what it is, but there's something here, right? Right. And so we created a Facebook page and a Twitter account and an Instagram page. And we would do pregame shout outs. Like this was actually very intentional. First, I was going to make her this, you know, no BS, hard line, you know, you suck in the hockey game, get your stuff straight. But then like kids started watching it and we started getting messages from parents wanting to know if we could do a Landry video for the kids.
Right.
So I immediately pivoted. And this is really important. Like, you know, if you think you're going to go down one path, but the audience says something different, recognize it and pivot.
Yep.
I pivoted immediately and made her a kid's character.
Right.
And so the way we experienced explosive growth was we would put a post on social media saying, would you like your kid to have a shout out from Landry before the hockey game tonight? And we would get all these messages. And then she would run through and do the shout outs, give a tip about the game. And then those videos would get shared by all those parents and more people would fly in. Right.
Yeah.
And so, we ended up making a coloring book.
Yep.
And this is very strategic too. So since our audience became children, I was like, we need something, you know, coloring book would be it. So we made a coloring book called Landry Loves the Nashville Predators. We actually had to go to the Predators and get permission from the NHL to call the book that, right?
Sure.
And, but then I was like, well, we've only got this one audience. How do we expand the audience? So I contacted three other very influential people. One was on ESPN radio. Mm-hmm. And I said, we're making a coloring book. I know you follow the Twitter account. Would you like to be a co-author in the coloring book? And they're like, that sounds fascinating, but what do I need to do? And I'm like, all you need to do is give me two coloring pages ideas. We'll take care of the rest. We'll put your name on the front of it as co-op.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's it.
Make it easy for them.
Right.
And I'm like, that's it. They're like, okay, hockey rink, count the pucks. I'm like, there you go. And what a maze or whatever. I'm like, perfect. Thanks. Yeah. I'll put your name on the cover.
Right.
And so that allowed us, because we created a publishing platform.
Yep.
When you have a publishing platform, a podcast, a book, a coloring book, whatever, you get the right to go invite who you want into the platform and let them share in the platform itself.
Yep.
Come be on my podcast. Come be a part of my coloring book, whatever. Yep. So that we've actually had people go, oh, she's like the official dog mascot of the Predators. I'm like, no, she's really not. But if you think that, that's fine.
Yeah.
So that became really popular for us. So just very strategic.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point about the platform. I mean, if you think about the biggest media companies today, I mean, they all own platforms,
yep.
Including Facebook, including, you know, Twitter. I mean, those are media platforms, you know, whether you consider them news media or not, like they're media platforms. Yeah. And that's how they get rich is because they own the platform. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out how to own your own platform, whether it's in print, you know, podcast, blog, even though those sometimes seem outdated. Some of those things, they, at least you control it.
Yeah.
And you can, like you said, you can invite people on, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, good stuff for sure.
That's another little quick story as you're trying to build your brand. It's all about the media platform that you develop. Mm-hmm. Right. And you'll experiment around with it. But if you develop it, then you get to invite the guests onto it that you want to have on there. And be selective about who you're choosing. Don't just take any Tom, Dick, or Harry. Take an influential person that you would like to know their network.
Yep.
And then you expand that way because you help them first. And you're not looking for anything other than the introductions and becoming the friend and building the relationship. You'll end up with business later, you know? So, anyway, that's my tip.
Well, Jonathan, I don't know about you, but mine's empty.
Mine's getting beer, close.
Beer's empty, so that means the show's over. But, Tim, this has been like very really good.
Yep.
Good catching up with you again.
Dude, I'm coming to your house next week. You might as well just COVID, no COVID. I don't care.
Dude, I'm on vacation next week. So if you want to come on down here, bring $5 bills to this house.
Throw the clubs in the car where I'm coming. Just leave a key under the mat.
Seriously, if you want to come down and play golf, come on.
Yeah, there's nothing else going on, right?
Yeah.
Everything's locked.
Only if you wear those pants, man. I mean, that's gotta wear the pants.
I will wear pants. How about that?
I'm gonna get me some. I already told Sean. I'm ordering the PBR.
This is like the fourth week in a row you've said that.
No, I haven't yet. I've ordered some other stuff from Loudmouth. There, you know what I found out with Loudmouth is they have like you try to get on there and order your size, and so you click on a size to order, and a lot of times they don't have your size in stock, so you have to wait.
They don't have super skinny. They got fat boy though.
Well, I mean, it is John Daly's brand, right? Or was. Right.
So. Yeah. So I wanted those John Daly PBR pants, but yeah, they don't have my size right now. So
I'm going to get a piece of rope. You'll be fine. Just add to it.
PBR sticker on your tail.
There you go. Well, Tim, it's been fun. If I don't know if there's anything you want to like.
What's the best, anything, best place yeah, people can find you? Yeah.
I'm a pretty big Facebook guy. I'm wide open on my personal page. You know, if you want to find me there, you can check out, I don't know who your listener is, probably a very diverse audience. So,
yeah.
We got a website called thedailydifference.com. Go check me out at thedailydifference.com. That's sort of my platform for anybody and everybody that would like to grow in leadership, right? Yeah. It's not very selective. So I just put things out there for anybody. So thedailydifference.com is probably a good place to check me out.
Or you've got a book called The Daily Difference, right? You've published.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You better have that right there. Yeah. I told him. Yep. Right there.
I think I'm in that one somewhere. One of those.
You might be.
Yeah.
No, that was another one we did.
That was it was like a joint one we did. Yeah.
We did a joint one together. This one was just a collection of my quotes.
So. Yeah.
Cool.
There you go.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks to our people that we've got some Facebook listeners that listen for the whole show. So thanks, Maria, Facebook user. Like if you don't allow StreamYard permissions, like we can't see your name.
I deleted out all the cursing comments. So
oh, that's good. So, all right. Well, I guess that's a wrap. So Jonathan, I'll let you wrap it up. Tim, we appreciate you being here. That's thedailydifference.com.
Dailydifference.com. Tim Davis, you can find him on Facebook. You're pretty active on Facebook. And also, Tim and I did a book I've mentioned in a few times, sellingonthegreen.com, where we also use that strategy with a lot of people, like, you know, just developing that relationship with multiple people that contributed certainly helps, especially if you're too lazy to write a book, you know.
And that's international and used by business schools across America now, right?
That's right. It is, yeah. It's good stuff.
I know of.
I see like 10 copies on the shelf behind you, I think.
Probably.
Like third shelf up or something, fourth shelf up.
That's right. We are part of the Department of Central Michigan and Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
You know, we're part of Central Michigan's marketing department.
Y'all are like pseudo professors. That's pretty cool.
We don't even know it.
I flunked out of college. How about that one?
Me too. We're a good company. That must be the secret that everybody's looking for. You got to flunk out of college or at least drop out.
So. That's it. Tim, it's been a pleasure, buddy. Always fun to catch up, man. We'll good talk to you guys. Soon. Yep.
All right. I'll see y'all.
See ya.
Good to have Tim on. I love talking about that style, you know, his style of personal branding. It's pretty cool how he's done that, you know. Not everybody can get away with that. You kind of have to find your own thing, like whether you're wearing a unicorn outfit or a or a paintball jacket. You just kind of have to find what works for you.
Yeah. Or it may be, you know, like I think about Darius Rucker, you know, he's got a very unique look.
He sure does.
You know, for a country singer, he wears boots, jeans, t-shirt, and then a baseball cap instead of a cowboy hat.
Right.
But it's kind of his look, and it works. Like, so it doesn't have to be outrageous, but it could be just like this regular look that kind of portrays a certain image.
No.
So it doesn't have to be like totally uncomfortable for you or totally outlandish.
Now, I think of, you know, Jeffrey Gittimer, the, you know, he's always done those, a couple of things that come away from that is he's always authored those like the little black book of such and such,
or the little red the books. Book. Yeah. And all the books are some color.
Yep.
And then they're like the really nice canvas, you know, covers instead of a paperback or anything like that. So it's got that nice feel and tactile feel when you're reading the book. So that's pretty cool.
So you just, absolutely.
You got to find your thing. And then when you do, like he said, I thought that was good advice, be willing to pivot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know, just keep going.
Absolutely. All right. For all of our listeners out there, you can find us persuasionbythepike.com. You can find us on any of your podcast platforms. And Sean, it's been fun, man. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks again.
All right. See ya.